Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show. It's dark in my room because it was fucking hot, so I turned lights off. but it still looks fine. Dan, I guess we should talk about your level up stuff first, because do you have many choices?
Sure.
You got some level new level spells, maybe?
Yeah, I get one more level 4 slot, which is nice.
That's nice.
Cool.
Ability score improvement, and it's going to bump wisdom to 20.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
So now my DC will be 17 for spells.
That's really good.
And then destroy undead CR1. So if I do the turn undead, if anything is CR1, it just instantly dies if it fails the save.
Wow.
Which probably won't come up. If we ever get like to the Court of Swords where all the undead is, it might come in handy, but
yeah. It'd be a big deal. Right now. Yeah, totally.
You could be Ramus the Savior just walking in, fucking one-shotting everything.
And then my Divine Domain feature is I get to add my Wisdom modifier to my cantrip damage. So when they miss, I will miss for 5 more damage.
Good. Good.
So instead of just being a flat, like, 2d12 or do 2d8, it'll be 2d8 plus my Wisdom modifier. So a little bit of a damage boost.
Nice. Okay. It's not bad. And then HP, you taking the average?
Yeah, I'll just take the average.
So what's your HP then? 53.2?
D8, so it'd be 5 plus my constitution, seven.
So
7.
60 HP?
Even 60.
Nice. All right, that was an easy level up. Well, I'm getting the graphics saved. A lot of stuff happened towards the back. That was a very, I feel like, back-ended episode after the combat stuff. In the beginning, there's a lot of lore dump. But we could start with the conversation at the very beginning, I guess, with the commander, right? That's his rank?
Commander, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that guy was just like talking to a wall. I just got frustrated. It's like, I'm done. I'm just going to yell at you and I'm going to fucking leave because you're not receptive to anything. You're stubborn as fuck.
It's tricky because both the like his bosses left, right? His bosses are like, we have to go to our sacred sanctum and hang out. They're in the safe room.
Right.
And so they were like, I don't know, save the city. And he's like, great, thanks. Now I have to do that. And then he has these adventurers coming up and being dicks to him. And he's like, listen, I'm just trying to keep the city from getting burned down. And the people who are supposed to be my friends, like the tower is supposed to be helping. They're going all aggro and burning everything down. And like, yeah, it's tricky. There's some rough stuff going on for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was, I don't know. That conversation, like I said, was frustrating for me. But I did like the interaction outside that with the kid. Although, I feel like... Solly would, well, maybe not, because it was more like social cues and not intelligence when we were having the conversation. So I guess that played out properly. I just felt really dumb as a person throughout that, because I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, so that whole thing is derived from the fact that like not every culture. I was thinking about this before I started playing her. Not every culture uses the same body language to illustrate the same things, right? Like. What the way that people do gestures and stuff might mean different things. Like, for example, where you point at on your body to indicate yourself is different depending on where you're from. So it was like, okay, like maybe for her culture, the gesture is like, I'm Adam. Hi, pleased to meet you. Instead of like Adam or Adam.
Yeah.
But because that's a common gesture outside, like give me something I want, put it in my hand. It caused, like, it was intentionally meant to cause confusion above and beyond, like, you don't understand the words that she's saying. So it was cool to watch every, like, the group of you kind of come at that from different directions and then eventually figure it out.
Yeah. I think for... I think for Kalimat, that was a pretty big deal when you were able to finally connect with her after seemingly, like, 6 or 7 hours of play, for sure. That was a big deal.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, it totally was. Like, I love having, like, I love, I don't know. I like being responsible for something and someone. it gives me a drive and a sense of purpose. Like, first thing on my mind is mod safe.
Yeah. Makes sense. And then I thought, Berg, you were, to kind of jump towards the end on the same topic with Maud, you almost gave her up to the tower. I could feel you kind of contemplating it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely thought about it, but the more he thought about it, he's like, no, this is stupid. This is not her fault. Like, you don't just punish her because, you know, the Mara decided she's going to be, you know, a part of, she's going to be a pawn in the revenge scheme because of Pukrit. You know what I mean? It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Him, it
yeah.
didn't make any sense. Well,
the sort of interesting thing I feel here is that, like, it's not like Hazan is being like, I'm going to be mean and, like, get rid of this girl. He's trying to help both you and her because he sees you being burdened by having her around. Like, she's making you less effective. You're accumulating dharma, which he does not want for you. And also for her, like, yeah, okay, cool. She can stay here in this hell city hanging out with you and your violent, awful friends and probably be scared a bunch and suffer. Or we could just give her the sleepy time tea and she could die and her soul will get popped into a new baby somewhere else. And in 10 years, she won't even know this happened. Right. Yeah. So like, it's a weird, his perspective on it is so weird. And I think that's kind of the theme that we're looking at right now. The idea of like attachment, both to the city mm-hmm. and then to her personally, and that riddle that Left Alone told, right? That idea of, like, why are you still carrying her around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And making the right decision around that and what that looks like. Yeah. So that's kind of what her whole jam has been.
It was a little bit of a common thread throughout the episode because Ramis said the same stuff to you as well.
Yeah, I was really happy when Dan picked that up, and because Dan, you were very much like playing a cleric of the, like, we're on the same page. I was like, yeah, no, that's right. That's exactly what a cleric of the tower would think. Like, you got to let go, dude. You're letting this shit drag you down.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to her. I guess we'll just keep her around until she eventually gets an arrow to the fucking head.
So eventually she dies.
I was trying to think of like a safe haven for her, but there's not really one in this city.
I know. I'm just like, and she's as the way Adam's put it too, she's like from so far away. It's like, believe me, Berg thought about that too. Like, how are we going to get her? She's not going back home unless some sort of magic stuff happens. It's got to be like, we got to find a place for her to live that's safe.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know where home is mm-hmm. for her.
That's like one of my goals. Or next time.
Yeah, but what? Unless we can talk to her and figure it out.
Well, you're gonna need magical means to figure out where she's from, because even if you can speak to her, right, you're gonna ask her like, where are you from? And she's gonna be like, the village on the river. And you're gonna be like, what village? What river? And she's gonna be like, I don't know. I never left there before. Where are we?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a whole thing.
Ramis, can you use locate person with someone else's person? And that's
it. Has a range of 1,000 feet, so
oh no, never
only
mind.
Third in the city.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way. Yeah, I guess comprehend languages is probably like one of the only things that would work. Which Zeke, I thought that was kind of fun. I didn't anticipate to explain how magic works.
Well, I've always liked it when someone like. Someone, whether you dual class or change a level or whatever, and you get more things.
Yeah.
Mm. I always kind of like trying to incorporate that within the RP.
Sure.
As to how you acquire these things. And maybe not for cantrips, but definitely for leveled, like level one spells and stuff like that. I'd like to be able to justify why I have them. Rather than just like, poof, I have them and that's it.
Yeah, D&D does a really bad job with that shit, where it's just like, hey, you've got this new stuff, go and use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already inspirational stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Everyone talked
about it. I'm so arrested. I have magic now. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, fictional stuff and mechanical stuff is so far apart. Like, I can't really, like, if the opposite were true, if you were like, well, I'm not really getting any XP, but I'm going to spend a year studying wizardry, I'd be like, good for you. I guess, like, tough shit. You didn't gain a level. You can't be a wizard now. And then the same way, inversely, like, cool, you're a bard now. Like, you always kind of were, but now it does real things instead of just, like, making skill checks. So, Yeah. I do like that we get to see the different a third aspect on the way that magic works in the universe, right?
Because totally.
It all taps into the fountain as a power source. But I loved how, like, Dan, you were like, yeah, wizards just steal it. You're just stealing from the house of the gods. You didn't ask for it nicely, like we do. That's what we do. That's our job. That's why we have prayers. Wizards, you just memorize the magic words and sneak in through the back door, which I think is super. I think that's super cool. It was a really neat way of coming at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we're going
to. So it'll be neat to see that.
Yeah. What do you think, Zeke? Where would you say that the bardic magic comes from in that sense? Or do you need some time to think about that before you answer it?
No, I agree with Adam. Like, because I wasn't sure if bardic magic, like, you learned it or whatever, but when he said it's like sorcery, that's, I like that way more. Yeah. I like that so much more because it's an innate ability rather than, it's like someone who has like sorceress magic, it's because they were chosen or because they were touched by whatever power, and they just have it.
Bloodline kind of or thing. Fate. Yep.
And it makes you feel kind of a little bit more like a little bit more special because you don't have to pray and you don't have to learn. You just kind of know. And there's mysticism. I like the idea of mysticism in song, right? And spells being cast because of music and that kind of thing. I like the idea behind that one day it's just like, you were humming your favorite tune and it felt different to you. And then you can understand what birds are saying, you know?
That's how music works, actually. Yeah. The Beatles can understand.
But you know, that's what I'm saying. I like that idea.
I think that is a cool way for sure. But I think comprehend languages with the kid is going to be, whenever that moment occurs, will be a fun one. If it does indeed work.
But also like, finding, I have to, Adam was, correct me if I'm wrong, pretty staunch on getting an instrument in order to use that thing as a magic wand to cast spells.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If there's material components, you do need that, but that shouldn't be too hard to obtain in the city. Okay. There's still lots of functional parts of the city that can sell you stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of that stuff I think is kind of shared.
Your magic focus, your instrument takes the place of any material component. So if you have your focus, you don't need materials to cast a spell, and vice versa.
Yeah. So what we're just talking about is him needing to get the focus, but that shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I want to work out organically, but that's tough. It's really tough.
You're walking through the city and grab a tuba. Yeah.
Well, when the fucking this shit is just going bonkers, and I'm like, wait a minute, guys. I'm going to go buy a lute. I'll be back.
I got to figure this out real quick.
I need a flute, stuff. You guys. I got to go buy a flute. I got to go see a guy about
it. I have all this stress. I need to release it in song.
It's an interesting thing because I've been doing a lot of like research because I love like just nerding out about shit while I'm GMing. I've been doing a lot of research into like actual cities in real life that are undergoing or have undergone like war conditions.
Yeah.
And like what is still available, what still happens, what doesn't happen, like what happens to a city when essentially there's armed conflict in the streets, like the whole city doesn't shut down. Like, yes, you could still probably find like a 7-Eleven that's open that would be like, yo, you want to buy some Doritos? Yes, I understand that uptown there are like bombs and guns going off, but like, yo, here's your Doritos. Thanks for coming. So it is still possible. Things still function. It's just skewed and weird and scary in a way that it wasn't before.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is something I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
I wanted to bring this up, Adam, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you, Adam Coble, you fucking love Hassan, don't you?
I love
that guy.
I like playing him because I think that he started as kind of the like the ominous harbinger, right? He was the guy that was like, I'm here when things are going bad. I'm mysterious and weird. And then the more you get to know him, the more the shine is kind of coming off. And now you're like, you're just an asshole. You've been around a long time. You're just a dick. And that's what's fun about it is just being like this guy who you thought was mysterious and all powerful. It's the same with heaven, right? Like the more you learn about heaven, the more you're like, wait a second, they have like out of office replies. This is some shit, right? Letting the shine come off the apple a little. Yeah. And that's what's fun about playing him is just being like, listen, yes, I'm a cool, tough badass, but only for level one. You're up here with me now, and you know the truth. Like, I'm fucking stressed, guys.
Yeah, I mentioned that before. It's been interesting to see just the veil kind of slowly come up from him and just be like, oh, you're kind of just like a regular dude, sort of. Just to people that don't know anything about you, you're like, ooh, and now you're just stressed out. So you're like, all right, full transparency. This is what I am.
Yeah, like, fuck it, I don't have time for all this shit. We got to get our job done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To speak to a little bit about the Hassan encounter, there was a brief moment where I was like, what would happen if I slapped the bracer on Hassan right now? How bad would things go if I were to put a bracer on this person and fucking say, like, hey, stop being a piece of shit. You got to work together with this. If he would just snap it and, like, kill me immediately, or how that would play out.
I feel like the problem wouldn't be after, like, you're saying, like, what would we do after you got the bracer on him? But, like,
getting it on him would be
that'd be the tough part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting it on him. I feel like it's one of those things we've talked about, how it can only be broken by, like, the chosen of judgment and justice, right? That they like, these are very powerful artifacts. And also, like, real nasty, right? Like, the gods made these things, gave them to humans, or, like, the gods, but, like, the servants of the Arcana made these things, gave them to humans to enslave people, right? Under the auspices of judgment or justice. So they're pretty serious. I imagine if you could get one of those on a creature like Hassan, it probably would stick. You know, he has friends in those clergies, but right now things in heaven are a little tense.
Yeah.
So,
well, also, I think for like as a character and as Solly as a person that's like a real fucking evil thing to do. Like, Berg would probably kill me if someone else in that area didn't do it beforehand. And it would just be Ramus would probably laugh as I just got murdered probably a second after that. And Kali Matt would just be like, Jesus, you were just an asshole this entire time. So I ended up not.
There
was a split second. I'm just let's do it. And then I was like, never mind. We're good. Yeah.
There's a timeline that definitely leads to Sully being the, like, Joseph Mengele of the setting, right? This, like, the evil, like, do anything for knowledge, like. You know, there is a dark path that Sully could go down. I don't think, I think that's not likely where you're going to end up, but it's certainly possible. This person who's, like, obsessed with knowing at what cost, right?
Yeah, I didn't really interact much with Hassan there at the end, so there might be a conversation at the start of the next episode, but we'll see. I don't know what I would say to him. Like,
I'm having an interesting time with Hassan and with the tower, like, generally as a clergy, because, like, it's easy to be like, they're villains, they're blowing up the city, they're doing stuff, but, like, they're, like, okay, again, like, Nuremberg defense is a thing that is accepted to not be real, but they are literally, like, performing their role in fate. Like, their job is to burn shit down so that, like, eventually, if things go the way they want it to, the city will be ruined, but then, you know, you'll have that moment, that action movie moment where everything is fucked, but you've defeated the enemy and the sun comes up and everyone's like, yay. And no one remembers that it was the tower that did the hard work. They're all just like, oh, the star has risen. There is new hope. Hurrah. And we can build out of the ashes, right? That end of Wall-E, like, growing, you know, plants in the dirt of the apocalypse. And then the tower will just go away until they're needed again. Like, they can be perceived really easily as villains, but they're trying to make room for new growth. They're trying to save the world so something can be built in the ashes, because the Farang will not allow for that. That's not their jam.
Yeah.
I view the tower as insecticide. It's like, yeah, you kill millions of insects, but that's so your crops can grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing. The idea of, like, how life has a different value in a civilization where reincarnation is so important and so present. Right? The idea of, like, is it better to keep a person alive and suffering, or do we let them die and get another shot at things? Right? Do you reboot, basically?
Yeah.
And that's sort of the whole purpose of the Arcana.
Yeah, I think in terms of importance, I think next episode we'll probably be making, like, a pretty big decision on where we fall in all this and who decide to like back in that sense.
Yeah, it's all been coming to a head for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be this episode, but didn't quite get there.
Yeah, I mean, you've had a chance to kind of see what everybody's about and what everybody wants. And yeah, now you kind of have to pick, like, okay, who are we going to help win this thing? Do we stick with the immortals and we protect the city and we say, too bad, tower, like, we can save this place? Or is it going to be slash and burn and we torch the important targets and we start going guerrilla warfare against both the Ferang and the Harissa?
Yeah.
The great thing about this for me as a GM is that every possible road forward is exciting and interesting to me. Like, I can do something cool with all of them. I think a lot of the time when people GM stuff, they get attached to a particular storyline. And you get accused of this as a GM with chat a lot, where they're like, Adam just really wants them to do this. He's making everything else impossible, but I'm really happy in this place to just be like, I don't give a fuck. Do what you want. It's going to be fun for me no matter what. So I think that's really cool. So I'm just really excited to see what you guys end up deciding, where you end up going.
Yeah, we'll definitely have like a pretty big, I think, group powwow before we make a decision. Yeah. Totally. So that'll be interesting, especially too when I feel like the players have kind of been, or sorry, that not players, the characters have been a little bit aggravated with one another, just a tiny bit. So the conversation might be a little bit more fun because of that. But yeah, anything else you guys want to talk about from the episode? Or are we good?
Max, I owe you 50 experience. You get 50 more than I gave you. Yeah, you 50, because you're level 8, not level 7.
Oh, okay. Did the multiplication wrong or whatever?
That was my last thing.
Gotcha. Zeke, Max, or Dan, anything else?
After a year, one of my characters finally has a magic item. I'm so happy.
The ring. Oh, that's true. You got those rings. Yeah.
That's right. You got two magic items.
Yeah, you got the ring of poison resistance and the ring of +1 to saves and AC.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the magic was always within you.
Well, we didn't see you grab those, so we don't even know that you have them, right?
Yeah, no one knows I have them because you all were like busy with the girl, but
y'all were doing dumb stuff. All right.
Yeah, I mean that's why I didn't after you said you identify them, I didn't be like, hey, Ramus, what are those rings? We have no idea that you have them, so that works out. Zeke, anything for you? Anything you want to mention? We good?
All right. I'm good, man.
We're good. That's it. Next Saturday, I think, is going to be the show at 6 o'clock Eastern, which we worked out as the... What was the date on that? 17th. Yeah, 17th. So 10 days from when you're probably watching this. It's a little bit of lag time, but then you'll have two episodes back-to-back. They're on the 17th and again on the 20th. So that's it. Thanks, everyone, for watching, and we will see you guys on the 17th. We're out. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Hey, I can't find my mouse. This is really difficult.
It's around somewhere. You can do it.
Where is the mouse? Found it. All right. See you next time. Bye.
Bye, everybody.